How does the outside world view the managed services profession? That's an interesting question, and one we'll tackle on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
So, we're going to have a little fun today. We're going to take a look at an article, a recent article that was just published over the weekend, actually, I think. And yours truly was mentioned in the article, as were a few other people. And we are going to examine that article because it's a really good article. And it's a good article for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a great article because it's not written by an IT channel insider. So we get a good glimpse of how the external world kind of views the managed services profession right now, right? And as I'll discuss momentarily, with a particular lens filter applied towards cybersecurity. So the article talks about managed services providers that indirectly is the issue brought up. But then there are cybersecurity professionals, experts, quote unquote. I don't know these individuals, so I don't know them at all to say that they are or not. But let's assume that they are cybersecurity experts. And they have some opinions about service providers that I think is really interesting for us to deliberate and discuss as a community, because it's always useful to hear and examine how people outside the profession looking in view us. Partially just to be aware of it, and partially also to educate and correct anything that needs to be corrected. And that's kind of the whole title of today's episode is about, is really examining whether the outside the MSP community chatter, the consensus, and I don't know if this is a consensus. I suspect that it might be a popular growing trend, largely born of ignorance and some misconceptions that do need to be corrected. But anyway, we're going to tackle that. We're going to look at this article, and we're going to have some fun. So let's dive right in. So first of all, the article, and we published it in the MSP Alliance newsletter, so you can take a look at it. I'll put the link into the show notes, so you can take a look at it yourself when you're done listening, or at the same time that you're listening to this. But the title of the article is Alleged Russian Hacks of Microsoft Service Providers Highlight Cybersecurity Deficiencies. Now, I will just throw this out there. And it was only when I kind of just read the article that I realized, Microsoft Service Providers, MSP. Is that what people think MSP stands for? Now, I know those of you listening over in Scotland, you might think MSP stands for Minister of Scottish Parliament. Some of you up in Minneapolis might think that stands for Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. But does the world think that MSP stands for Microsoft Service Provider? Just curious thing. I never really heard that term before. I mean, Microsoft channel partners, Microsoft, resellers, that's very common. But Microsoft Service Providers, I'm wondering if that may be something that's contributing to the confusion here. I don't know. Just bear that in mind. That's something maybe we should think about. But anyway, the article is titled Alleged Russian Hacks of Microsoft Service Providers and Highlight of Cybersecurity Deficiencies. And it's printed in VOA News, so it's not a technical magazine. And the article quotes me pretty accurately. So I'm assuming that all the other people are also quoted pretty accurately. So I think that that's a good thing. I have certainly seen my quotes out there that don't necessarily take a very accurate representation of what was actually said. This is not one of those scenarios. This is a quite accurate representation of the discussion. But here we go. The article talks about the Nobelium attack on the Microsoft ecosystem and infrastructure community, if you want to call it that. A lot of other articles have talked about this. This is not a new story by any means, but it was, I'm assuming the article was prompted by a blog post on the Microsoft, I think it was an official Microsoft website. Yes. And it was issued by a Microsoft employee, and it is simply talking about how Microsoft uncovered this attack that spanned several months earlier this year that was focusing on their service provider reseller community. Now, in the article, and I think also in the blog post, it does reference MSPs or managed service providers as distinct from Microsoft service providers. So let's, maybe there is some articulation of those two different communities, and they are different. So we are under no illusion. There is a huge difference between Microsoft service provider or channel partner and an MSP. Just because you are a Microsoft channel partner does not mean you are an MSP, and vice versa. They're not logically connected. They could be. You could be both at the same time, but because you are one necessarily does not mean that you are the other. All right. It goes on further, the article that is talking about the efforts or the impact of the attack, the sustained campaign, talking about how it was not exploiting, I repeat, not exploiting existing known vulnerabilities. In fact, from the article, no vulnerabilities were exploited here. Unlike other previous hacks and breaches of the last, let's say, 12, 24 months, this was simply a sustained attack on that community to try to penetrate, but not using an exploit to circumvent security defenses and gain access. So an important distinction, I think. But nevertheless, the article talks about SolarWinds. It talks about that attack late last year. And it talks also about the United States executive order that just went out related to cybersecurity preparedness. And here's where it gets interesting. So down towards the middle of the article, yours truly is asked some questions related to whether or not the MSPs are aware of these attacks, whether they have been impacted by these attacks. And my general comment, you could read it for yourself, was because not everything that I said ends up in print here, I'm not aware of any specific companies that were impacted. And I also went on to say, just like I talked to quite a few companies that were quote unquote impacted both by SolarWinds as well as Kaseya, but it doesn't mean that they were breached. Meaning most of the MSPs I talked to, if they had an impact, it was an inconvenience of having to shut down. In the case of Kaseya, they had to shut down the on-premise version of that remote monitoring management software, and they had to come up with alternative means. But none of the MSPs that I talked to actually suffered breaches, and it doesn't mean that they didn't. It doesn't mean that MSPs did not have breaches, and it doesn't mean that customers of MSPs didn't have breaches, but it just means that the ones that I talked to didn't. And so I expressed that to the article's author, and then I was asked a question which I thought was really curious, and I was not notified of the other individuals that had been consulted for this article. And I want to be accurate, but I'm going to have to paraphrase the question that was put to me. And it was, generally, are MSPs doing enough on cybersecurity? And I was given a paraphrased quote, I'm sure, by an unknown at that time person, and the article's author said, you know, a cybersecurity expert has said that MSPs aren't doing enough for cybersecurity and need to do more. And I said, that's doesn't sound right. I mean, there are certainly outliers in any profession, but the MSPs that I'm talking to are doing incredible work. They are incredibly busy on this very topic, and more to the point, they are doing a lot internally, and they're doing even more trying to get their customers to adopt, you know, even baseline cybersecurity hygiene practices that will make them a lot safer, them meaning the customer. And I expressed this to the article's author, and then I see this quote. And this is from a person who used to work at the NSA in a former U.S. National Security Agency elite hacking team member. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what that means. I'm assuming they're using the term hacking in an approved way, because obviously hacking is illegal in the United States, so I'm assuming they're not hacking into United States assets, but that's beside the point. The point is that this person is portrayed as someone who's knowledgeable, an expert. And here's the quote. The profit margins for MSPs are often razor thin, and in the majority of cases, they compete purely on cost. Any work they do that doesn't directly translate to additional revenue is generally not happening. Now, I will defer to a former NSA elite hacking team member on matters of technical subject matter, right? Means, methods, technical, right? I'm not a technician. I'm not an engineer. I don't live in that world. I understand enough of it, but I'm not trained in that. I will defer to someone like that all the time. And I don't know this person, I'm sure they're a very nice person. I don't know. I've never met them before, but I this has to be said. Quote, the profit margins for MSPs are often razor thin, and in the majority of cases, they compete purely on cost. That is a manifestly untrue statement. Not born of stupidity, but out of ignorance. Just lack of awareness is what I would attribute that to, because it's just not a true statement. MSPs for 20, 30 years now have been operating under high margins, not low, high margins. In fact, in the MSP Verify, one of the requirements is you have to be operating at a minimum threshold of gross profit margin, because it's not because we promote greed or whatever these new catchphrases are. Why do we have gross profit margin in the MSP Verify standard? Because it's a very good indicator of efficiency. It's an outward indicator of efficiency within a managed services engine. There are others, but that's a very good one. Put differently, if you have a very, very low margin service, managed services delivery product line, you are either underpricing it, or you have, and this is true in many of the cases, you have a very inefficient service delivery method. And that might argue more for the fact that you might not be a real MSP, or you might not be really delivering a managed services offering, and you might be doing something that's something closer to break fix. And we've talked about this for so long, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, which I am, but apparently I have to. Because if you took that quote and you put it in the middle of MSP World or any other channel conference where there are MSPs of note, of maturity, not new MSPs, but veteran MSPs, they would laugh at that and say, that doesn't represent us at all as an industry. We don't actually generate razor-thin margins, nor do we attempt to operate at that level. The article goes on and talks about, from a different individual, a former IT industry executive, saying that MSPs don't like to admit that they have been hacked. Quote, they don't want to share that their users' information has been stolen because it may hurt their bottom line and may hurt their stock prices. And so they try to handle that internally. How many MSPs have stock prices? I think you may be thinking of something different. The vast majority of MSPs on the planet, this planet, Earth, do not have stock prices. They are not publicly traded companies. The vast majority of MSPs are privately held entities. And if they do experience a data breach, they are trained, dare I say, they are obligated, if they are part of the MSP Verify certification, they are obligated to disclose that to the proper authorities. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a code of ethics that we have posted on the MSP Alliance website that actually talks about that same thing, that probably predates the MSP Verify. It's probably where we got it from, where it talks about making these types of disclosures to the relevant authorities, I believe is the somewhat close phraseology. My gosh, we just worked very closely with this, the state of Louisiana, in their MSP registration law over the last couple of years, you know, on this very issue of making that into a codified piece of legislation. It's law now. And it is not standard practice for MSPs to hide that. What is standard practice is for MSPs to abide by their contractual obligations, almost all of whom have confidentiality requirements. And in many, many cases, especially in the ones related to stock-priced MSPs, meaning they're publicly traded companies, they're probably not the only MSP in there with the customer. And so there may be considerable doubt and uncertainty as to who is actually who is at fault, right? Whose duty is it to disclose that? Now, if the MSP gets hacked, if the MSP is breached, the MSP has a duty to, like everybody else, and now I'm talking about the ones that here in the United States, because, well, the article was, I think, mainly aimed at that market, but it's true in Canada, it's true in the EU, it's true in Australia, it's true in a lot of places, but let's just take the United States for an example. All 50 states have data breach notification requirements. Data breach notification laws. Not requirements, not suggestions, not a helpful hint. It's a law. If you get breached, you gotta disclose it to the impacted parties. And in some cases, you have to disclose it to other people, maybe the legal authorities in some situations. But in all 50 states, that's the law. So who in the hell is breaking that law because they're afraid that their stock prices are going to be hurt? I'm just baffled by that statement. Now, if an MSP knows that a customer of theirs has been breached, and let's just assume for this fact pattern, hypothetical, that it's not the fault of the MSP, does the MSP have a duty? Do they have an obligation to inform the general world that their customer has been breached? I don't know who this former IT industry executive is, but you check with your legal counsel first before you start making those claims that MSPs ought to be breaching their agreements and disclosing to the whole world that a customer of theirs was breached. And this is where we start to get into some real important but real subtle differences of the MSP is not their customer. The MSPs are responsible for delivering services to their customers according to what's listed in the contract. The MSPs are certainly responsible for their own perimeter, they're responsible for their vendors, and they're responsible for the way that they handle data management on behalf of their customers. This is known, this is not deviated in 30 years. This has always been the case. But never, in my experience in working in managed services, has there ever been a duty for the MSP to tattle on their customer if their customer suffered a data breach and the customer says, I'm not going to say anything, and the MSP says, oh, well, then I'm going to say something. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions to that. I can think of a handful of recent, like in the last 5 years, that were very critical. We've talked about them a lot. I don't want to bring it up because they're very political, but they do involve customers who do questionable, if not illegal, things and try to get their MSP to cover up for it. Now, those are not the norm. Those are not the common scenarios that we see. What we do see, however, are MSPs who are trying desperately to get their customers to do things a certain way to help them be safer. The customers say, no thanks, I don't want to do that. The customer gets breached. And then people like this come out there and say, oh, the MSPs, they need to be doing more about cybersecurity. The MSPs are afraid to be talking about data breaches. It's not true. This is so contrary to everything that I know to be true and real in the managed services space. And I'm not going to read my quotes. You can read my quotes in that article if you want to, if you care. But I would say this. As an explanation for at least one of these individuals talking about how MSPs aren't paying enough attention about cybersecurity, I would say that there's a high likelihood that what they're talking about is not an MSP, but in actuality, a break-fix company. Again, another topic I know that I'm guilty of repeating over and over again, but I'm going to do it again. We've talked about this so many times. The break-fix community, especially those that are masquerading as MSPs. Yeah, you could absolutely make the case that that community of companies in possession of MSP tools, claiming to be MSPs or claiming to be capable of delivering managed services offerings, probably have exist in the other end of the spectrum in terms of cybersecurity hygiene and preparedness. Absolutely, I would agree with that. But I would also say, as I've said before, we don't classify those entities as MSPs. They are not yet deserving of that moniker. And so for those of you out there, again, the people quoted in the article, I don't mean to besmirch what you do for a living. I'm sure you're quite good at it. But please accept this gentle correction for the record and for anyone else that has read this, that what you are describing does not describe the MSP community. It is not the MSP community you are describing. You are talking about something completely different. You're talking about the minor leagues, right? The AAA clubs, not the major league ball teams. Very different. The MSPs I know, not perfect. I actually think I say that in the article, right? I'm not claiming the MSP community is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But what I am saying is that there are two very big and very distinct camps that can be broken down quite easily, at least the way I contemplate it and visualize it, in the reactive camp and the proactive camp. And the proactive camp are more deserving, more, in my opinion, capable of being defined as an MSP for a variety of reasons: high profit margins, high efficiency, better security, better awareness of what their obligations are. And then you have the reactive group, many of whom are trying to call themselves MSPs. And there's a between those two camps, there is a connection, meaning that there is a migration, a one-way migration. Nobody's leaving the MSP camp to go to the break-fix camp. That doesn't happen. But there is a migratory pattern of reactive break-fix companies trying to escape that community and trying to enter the managed services community. And they know, or they should know, what the expectations are of them in order to enter the proactive, professional-grade managed services community. And in that camp, none of these things talked about here in this article really accurately describes them. It does describe the break-fix reactive community to a T. I mean, it just nails it perfectly. But again, they're not MSPs. Don't call them MSPs. Don't confuse them with MSPs. Don't perpetuate that concept that they are real MSPs. They're not. Give the article a read. You might come up with a completely different takeaway than I did. Happy to entertain that. We don't all think the same, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you take a look at this article and you say, "Wow, Charles, you missed the point, you're way off," shoot me a note, mspzone@mspalliance.com. Love to hear your feedback. Love to hear your comments. That's in great part how I learn and how I evolve my thinking in this industry is by listening to all of you. Those are my thoughts. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.